With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Today, a story out of Kansas, in Rose Hill, Kansas. Authorities have arrested a local couple that have been accused of killing their 6-year-old adopted daughter and concealing her body in a makeshift grave behind their home for nearly 4 years. Police say the remains of the child, identified as Kennedy Schroeder, were discovered in September during a search prompted by a mental health call to the residence. According to Rose Hill Police Chief Tyler Parler, officials visited the home on North Meeker Court around 7:30 p.m. on September 10th in response to a mental health crisis. While there, they received information suggesting a body might be buried in the backyard, you know, like you normally do on a call to a home. There might be a body in the backyard. Investigators returned early the next day, clearing dense vegetation and using cadaver dogs to comb the property. Hours into the forensic dig, they uncovered a shallow grave roughly 2 feet deep containing the young girl's remains in a trash bag. DNA tests confirmed the body belonged to Kennedy, originally born Natalie Garcia, on July 14th of 2014. After her birth parents relinquished their rights, she was adopted by the Schroers in November of 2018 and renamed Kennedy. Police believe she was suffocated in late 2020. Her death has been ruled a homicide. Both adoptive parents, 50-year-old Christina Elizabeth Schroer and 53-year-old Joseph Shane Schroer, are now in the Butler County Jail without bond. Christina faces charges of murder, 4 counts of child abuse with forfeiture, or with torture rather, 4 counts of forgery, aggravated kidnapping, felony theft, Medicaid fraud, and desecration of a corpse. Joseph is charged with child abuse with torture, felony theft, Medicaid fraud, interference with law enforcement, and liability for crimes of another. Kennedy's biological mother, Christina Helm, told KSN News in an interview that Kennedy was one of 3 daughters she surrendered for adoption and questioned how her child could remain unaccounted for so long. I don't know. How did you not know she was accounted for so long? Okay. How does nobody know this child is missing? Helm asked, also wondering why the Kansas Department for Children and Families, DCF, did not check on the girl's welfare. Because they don't have a staff. That's how. In an email statement, DCF spokesperson Aaron LaRoe declined to comment on specifics, suggesting queries be directed to law enforcement. Chief Parler acknowledged that answering how Kennedy was unaccounted for is the primary focus of the investigation, but said he could not release additional details at this time. Translation, we didn't check on her. Investigators say the couple continued receiving Medicaid payments for Kennedy's death, or after Kennedy's death. The Schroers had 3 biological children and 2 adoptive children. The surviving children have been placed in custody. Rose Hill police say the case involved about 2,000 investigative hours and assistance from multiple agencies, including the FBI, the Internal Revenue Service, and Wichita's Exploited and Missing Children's Unit, saying, quote, the case was built through the development of timelines spanning more than 4 years, authorities said, citing the extensive work required for the evidence. Additional information about how the child's death remained undiscovered for so long is expected to emerge once a probable cause affidavit is released following the Schroers' formal charges. For now, both remain in custody as the investigation continues. Just think, if we use that energy that would have been in the investigation and all the people and manpower and hours, and just had a system that actually accounted for these kids, maybe those 2,000 hours could have, you know, checked on this kid before they were dead, and God knows all the other children that are buried in somebody's backyard in Kansas.
Well, and this is in my part of the state.
Yeah.
This Rose Hill is not far from Wichita at all. Kind of like a suburb, basically.
Yeah.
A little bit farther out. But, you know, I'm just outraged because, okay, so they've adopted the child. I get maybe how the state... maybe the child falls through the cracks, but she also is getting Medicaid payments. And my mother gets Medicaid payments. And since I'm her durable power of attorney, I have to meet with Medicaid once a year and go over my mother's needs. So if you're getting Medicaid, how are they not meeting with the state once a year with the daughter and them? I don't understand that. It seems like, because mine, they meet with me and my mother at the same time. So why is that not being done for several years in a row? That bothers me. And and so it makes me think, are these people so isolated that there's no church involvement, no family, extended family, no friends, there's no school, there's no activities anywhere where someone would say, where is this little girl? Where is Kennedy? We haven't seen her for a long time. So all of this bothers me.
I want to know what the other kids were told.
Just disappear.
Yeah. What did they tell the other kids is my question.
You know, the other kids knew, or they told them something horrible like, well, she had to go back to where she came from.
Yeah,
she
wasn't
being a good girl.
Probably wasn't even a red flag. It was something like, or she ran away or this or that. And you're a kid. You just believe it. Oh, okay, they ran away. That must be the answer
to this
question.
You know, the kids, whatever it was, were traumatized because all of a sudden, and I'm wondering if the two adopted children, the other two children, are her bio siblings. That makes me think they adopted all of the kids from this other, the bio parents.
Yeah.
Which also bothers me because there's another set of parents that brought children into the world and did not step up and do what they should do.
Well, I mean, I'm just making assumptions here, but it sounds like it's a family that has children for profit, basically, where they take advantage of the system. They get basically a clearinghouse of kids. You know, remember like back in the day when you'd get the CDs from Columbia House and you'd take the stickers and go, I want this CD and that CD. It's kind of like they're doing that with children, except you can't return them very easily. And I guess you can lose the CDs, but you can't do that with people. And they're basically, they're using the system to profit. They're getting the Medicaid payments. That's how they're running. And that's why, and that was the incentive to not report her dead. Now, here's the thing. Here's the twisted part of all of this, and where this may go off the rails pretty quick, is it's interesting that they charged them with torture for a body that's been in the ground that long. So that's telling me there's something on this body that shows...
Because it's broken bones or something like that.
That there was something that happened. Now, this doesn't excuse any of it, but could this be that there was some sort of horrible accident that happened, that nobody was trying to kill a kid, but a kid died? And they put their priority of, well, we really need that check. Mm-hmm. And they're justifying it in their mind of, we got to take care of these other kids. So we're just, and nobody's going to know anyhow. So let's just bury her in the back and we'll just keep getting the check. No one's going to know. There's plenty of idiots out there that think that's going to work
for 4 years.
And it does work for a long time. That's why people do that, because it works.
And they would have gotten away with it longer had whatever happened that day not happened, and the cops get involved. And my guess is one of these two were like, he killed the kid, and the kid's buried in the backyard.
Yeah.
It makes me think that, you know, so I don't know if one of them killed the poor little girl and they both covered it up, or the other one was too afraid to address it. You know, maybe threats were being made to them and the other kids, who knows? But somebody lost it, this is my guess, and confessed to what had happened. How long would this have gone on?
Indefinitely. They could have possibly gotten away with it had the system not caught up a little bit. And the system didn't even catch up. It was tipped off. Mm-hmm. So unless it was tipped off, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of kids that just go missing.
Yeah.
I mean, after there's still this is something that would be interesting to do a documentary piece on and dig more into is the amount of children who seem to have disappeared after COVID that just didn't go back to school. Right. And there's
the numbers are huge,
insane amounts that just. But there's nowhere near enough resources to go and look into this. But our system is going to pay you money for kids that may or may not exist anymore, rather than use that money to actually protect the kids to begin with. That's the twisted part of all of this. If we move the resources here around a little bit and had more protection for little human beings, we might have this girl being alive. I mean, literally, you get more reminders about your pet's rabies from the city than you do about your actual children and their vaccinations.
Exactly.
So priorities are a little off, to say the least.
There was no doctor involved in this little girl's life who could say, you know what, I haven't seen her for years.
No.
What happened? Oh, we found
another
doctor.
But people do come and go. I mean,
How did nobody check, like, in 4 years, nobody cared about where this little girl was.
And that's the sad part. I mean, the parents were shitty enough that they had the kids and couldn't raise them. And then they went to people who were barely capable enough, I mean, clearly not capable enough of raising them, but had other kids. So, gee, it must be safe, which means nothing. And then this happened. Because there's not checks and balances in this system, and the checks and balances that exist are not, there's nobody to do them. So we can say, well, the system has this, great. Does it work? No. Well, then what's your point?
Mm-hmm.
And now
there's other kids who are now back into this system.
Yeah. Which probably better off, but again, could end up in another situation like this because it's so messed up.
I mean, they end up in a good home.
Yeah. I remember, I think I've shared this story on the air before, back when I lived in Kansas. And this is not just a Kansas problem by any means. But I remember there was some of our neighbors wanted to go caroling at Christmas. And I'm sure you can picture me out caroling at Christmas.
Actually, I can't.
I can't either. I can do karaoke in the basement. I'll do Last Christmas with a cocktail in my hand. But I'm not exactly out there going, oh, come all ye faithful. Through the trailer park. But that's what we did. There was an area down the way that had, some lower income folks, and they wanted to go and bring, I don't know, I think they brought food or something. And I went along, I participated. But I remember one of the houses that we went to was one of these where they're collecting kids for cash. And it was just a shitty environment. You could tell it was not a safe environment. You could tell nobody really took care of these kids. They weren't like wearing shoes or socks, and it's the middle of winter. You could just tell they weren't bathed. They were not in great shape. They looked kind of homeless for being in foster care. I'm not knocking people who legitimately do foster care and take care of their children. God bless you. There needs to be more people. But there are certainly a lot of people who just do this for cash, and the system is so strapped for people, they'll take anything they can get. And the kids become more of a commodity than an actual kid. And it's spooky. And honestly, you know, if some of those kids disappeared, I don't know that anybody really know. Quite honestly, I don't know how well they checked. I have a friend who did child welfare stuff in Wichita for a long time. And the horror stories that she had.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Are just like, oh, my God, how? And yeah, I mean, eventually she stopped because she couldn't do it anymore. She has kids. But again, it was just there's not the resources to to do what needs to be done. And that mm-hmm. is the ultimate problem. It was like, what's it? That's the problem. Ultimately, it goes, you're going to take a step back further. Ultimately, it's just shitty adults reproducing without anything stopping them. And then it goes into the system that can't handle them. But we're all there. Hey, have the baby. You got to have the baby. You have the baby and you can't do anything about it and you can't afford it and you want to get rid of it. Okay. Well, then we'll put it in the system. Oh, you can't. There's nobody to take care of the system or take care of the kids. Okay. Well, they're alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of life are they going to live now? What sort of traumas are they going to endure? And then once they grow up, what are the odds of them not inflicting those traumas on the people that they create or those around them? Not great.
In Kansas has a horrible problem with the foster care system.
Every state has a horrible problem.
They've taken them to court. They're supposed to be spending more money, court issued. You have to spend more money on this. And it's just not getting resolved.
That's what I think we've been learning, honestly, in a lot of municipalities, not with just this case, but other cases. There's people in power that are supposed to do their jobs correctly or just do their jobs in general. And if they hold the power to say, screw you, even if you do have an order against us, you're not going to get them to move. And if there's no accountability for saying, screw you, I'm not going to follow your order, then what are you going to do? It ain't much of an order anymore, is it? I mean, look, we have cases where we have rogue judges that go off and do horrible things and railroad people into prison without any sort of thought about it. But who's going to hold them accountable? It can be in the biggest headlines ever, but if there's nobody there checking that or putting the gavel down and going, you're not a judge anymore, nothing's going to happen because people in power know they have power and they know it takes a lot of power, or maybe there's no power that's going to stop it until it gets to like a criminal type matter, and good luck ever getting there on something like this. So
the one good thing in this whole story is that at least these people have been arrested and charged with some really serious crimes.
Yeah.
And they were caught finally. But, for 4 years, they're spending that Medicaid money. They ain't got any problems with that.
Yeah. There's
it breaks my heart.
A lot of questions in this, but I don't know. It's kind of a story you kind of know the answers to already without having to really get into the nitty gritty of it. And let's just hope those other kids have a better place to go.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee, only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.